This is the Nordic Football Guys Podcast.
What is up, everybody? We are the Nordic Football Guys. I am your host, Hayden, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Antti. Antti, why don't you say hello?
Well, hello. Oh, I'm sorry. Moro, moro. What's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. It's my third wedding anniversary today. Or should I say ours?
Today
is our third wedding anniversary, yeah. So wow, we celebrated a bit earlier and get this out of the way and we can celebrate a bit more.
Congratulations, man. I hope you enjoy your celebrating later. I'm sure you will. But yeah, that's crazy. Good thing that you decided to spend an hour of it with me. I really appreciate that. We should have done this.
I tried to talk to you over, but you know, it didn't work.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Well, maybe we will do our best to keep this nice and compact for you so you don't have to spend too much time with me. I'm sure you would rather spend your three-year wedding anniversary with your wife. But before we get started with today, how you doing, man? I guess that your week is a little less hectic than the week before, huh?
Yeah, yeah. For sure, of course. There's always work, but, you know, it's not nearly as hectic as it was. And actually, we got together on Sunday, right?
Yeah, yes, we did. Indeed.
We do a little draft.
Yeah.
For the relegation style league we have talked earlier, at least in our Super Bowl episode.
Yeah.
And I'm quite pleased with our team. It's a Superflex league.
Yeah. Do you have the team pulled up now or is it?
Yeah, I actually pulled it up so we can just quickly run through it.
Sure. I love the idea. Let's jump into it.
Yeah, I hope people let us know what they think about the team. So as I said, it's a Superflex. So our QBs are Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff, and Drew Lock.
Not bad.
We didn't go for the QBs quite early.
Yeah, I think we waited till like the sixth or the seventh round, I think, for our quarterbacks.
And soon you understand why. Our running backs are, and we were on the turn, so we were the 12th pick.
Mm-hmm.
So our running backs are Joe Mixon, Miles Sanders, Jonathan Taylor. Who else do we have? Adrian Peterson. And then our wide receivers, Allen Robinson, DJ Moore, AJ Green, John Brown, Mike Williams, and Brandon Ayuk. So I love our wide receiver depth for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely some good value, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I believe we got great value in bunch of the picks. Part of the reason was that we waited for the quarterbacks. And then our tight ends are Hayden Hurst and Mike Gesicki.
And we got Gesicki, I think, really, really late in the 15th round, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, 15 or 14. I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, so high upside with that. I'm really excited. Unfortunately, we will not have an episode based on that. I will take all of the blame here, not even a little bit of the blame. It's no secret at this point that the NFG has had a little bit of technical difficulties. But if you're listening to this episode, that means we should not be having any more technical difficulties. So we've run a lot of tests. Fingers crossed that this one goes through. We were recording an episode for that draft, but that didn't quite work out. So
yeah. Well, last Friday was our first skipped week since we started this thing in January or February.
Yeah, the end of January, I think.
Yeah. So yeah, and it's been many, many episodes after that. We have been posting every single week. So I'm quite proud, actually, how consistent we have been doing it. And it's not like we didn't record last week. We just couldn't publish that.
We made a mistake.
Yeah, the audio was unpublishable. So yeah. Is that a word?
It is now. And all you would have heard was Antti, and you don't want that in a podcast. You definitely need me. So
yeah, that's true.
But yeah, so we're trying this again. And you know, it's probably good that the last one didn't work out because it has been quite a week for running backs.
Yes.
Lots of crazy things have happened. There's been some rumors about Alvin Kamara going on that he's open for being traded, which is kind of scary. There is Leonard Fournette that has been released from the Jaguars, so that's kind of not nice. So we're going to have to move him in our rankings. Also, some good news, Joe Mixon got a big deal. So Joe Mixon is definitely going to be there for the season. So at least there's a little bit of a bright spot there. So maybe when we get to him, maybe there's some upside with him at this point. So
I have quite a lot of Joe Mixon stacks.
So. Yeah, you definitely do, especially shares, in our money league.
Yeah, money league and our co-managing league, both of them. So
yeah. So
alrighty.
Yeah. So without further ado, unless you have anything else you would like to say, perhaps we will get this thing started for the second time.
Yeah, let's go with the running backs. Our last position to cover.
Yeah. So coming in at number one, we have the obvious choice here. It is Christian McCaffrey. Not only you and I, but also Zach and Brad have him at number one. And especially in a weird running back year like this, where three or four of the top 10 guys are considering being held out or whatever, it's good to have a solid guy on your team that you know is going to be there for week one and has put up really great numbers. So it's really hard to say anything bad, in my opinion, about Christian McCaffrey. I have him statted pretty high, maybe not quite as high as he got last year, but you know, it's going to be nearly impossible for him to meet that again. I have him statted at 11, just over 1,100 at 11-2, 11 touchdowns, and 795 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns. So he's taking a big step down from 413 fantasy points to 330, so almost 100 less fantasy points, but still my consensus number one. So I would be very, very, very happy with having him at my number one spot if I had the first pick in the draft. What about you?
Yeah, it's the same for me. I believe I have the number two and the number one guy has less separation than rest of the field has.
Yeah.
So they are quite close in my books. Still, I have almost identical stats. I have him at 341 fantasy points. So yeah, pretty much the same. Same here. So yeah, that would be quite an obvious pick if I would be in the first pick of a draft.
Yeah.
And I actually have never drafted like earlier than ninth round. So
yeah,
I wouldn't know anything about that.
I think I'm in every single league that you're in, at least at this point.
Yeah, so, I believe so. Yes.
So that I know that you have not drafted more than nine ever. And we just drafted on the turn. And in our Finmerica league, which we have drafting this weekend, I know that you are on the turn again. So enjoy that.
At least I know what I'm about to do.
More Joe Mixon shares I see in your future.
I hope so.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that Christian McCaffrey is kind of that guy that doesn't need much to say. So unless you have more to talk about him, I'm comfortable with moving it on.
Yeah, I think we have more to say about the guys later on.
Yeah.
These first three or four are quite obvious, so.
Yeah, for sure. So the next guy that we have coming up is Saquon Barkley. He is also a kind of consensus two all across the board. You, me, Zach, and Brad, we all have him at two. And top of that, also Fantasy Pros has him at two. The good thing about Saquon that we have going on this year is that, again, no issues with his contract, which is kind of a running theme with the running backs this year. But also he is kind of Mr. Consistency when he's on the field. I know he missed a bunch of weeks last year, but that was due to a high ankle sprain. And generally that is an injury that does not repeat itself. So once you get over that, you're kind of over it for good. It's not something that's going to come back. So that's kind of good. When he does have the ball, he is phenomenal. Last year, he averaged over 4.6 yards per carry. And in the short, he only played 13 games, and one of them he was injured halfway through. He still broke over 1,000 yards. So even if he's missing games, you're still going to be getting really good value out of him.
I feel the same way. I mean, he's crazy talented. Like right off the top, the rookie year he had, I mean, that showed the way that his career is going to be. And last year when he was playing, he was very good. And it was the most important time in the playoffs, he really pulled it together.
Yeah, and also a lot of his down games, he rushed that high ankle sprain injury to come back. So he probably wasn't 100% when he came back. So if you're looking and you see, oh, well, after the injury, he had one or two games where he barely scored 10 fantasy points. I wouldn't worry too much about that. One thing I want to say about Saquon before we move on is I do have a little bit of a gap between him and Christian McCaffrey. I know that you are a little bit different. You have them statted very, very closely, but I have a good 40-point difference. I have him statted at just over 280, and I have Christian McCaffrey at 330. So a little bit of a step
down. Yeah,
that's
a clear gap.
Yeah, a big step down. Christian McCaffrey, if I had the 101, I would definitely be going with him, but Saquon Barkley is a fine 102. I know that you have them much closer.
Yeah, there's only 7 points in my rankings between them. So,
but is it that you have Christian McCaffrey taking a big step down, or is it that you have Saquon Barkley just...
Well, you have to have a Christian McCaffrey to take a big step down. To remind you, I have him taking less step down than you had. I have him ranked 10 points higher than you have him.
Mm. Fair enough.
But it's just I believe more maybe in the production of Saquon. So
yeah, and that's fair enough. Maybe we'll move it on to the next guy then.
Yeah,
I'll let you introduce him. I think I have introduced the first two.
All righty, it's Zeke Elliott. So again, quite clear choice for the number three guy. When you're talking about consistency, you cannot pass by Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
He's guaranteed to have heavy workload, and he can for sure do it on the ground. He usually gets lots of touchdowns as well, like 10 or over. He has some work also in the air, not as much as Saquon and nearly not as much than Christian McCaffrey has. And between Zeke and Saquon now is the big step. So for me, it's over almost 40 points difference here.
Mm. Between, so what do you have him at?
Actually, no, almost 60 points difference here between Saquon and Zeke. So I have him at 270 points.
Interesting. Yeah, actually, the difference between Saquon and Zeke for me are very, very minuscule. I think I have a 2-point difference. So I have Zeke at 281. But yeah, everything that you said is very true. It makes sense that you would have a little bit bigger of a step down between him and Saquon because you have him actually ranked at 4. So there's a guy sandwiched in between those two. I have him at 3 and Brad at 3 and Zach at 5. So again, he's kind of the consensus 3. So Fantasy Pros has him there at 3. And he's definitely consistent, very similar to Saquon Barkley. He's the workload back, the guy that's going to get close to 300 carries or even more on the year, depending how they decide to use him. Some good production through the air. So if you're in a half point per reception league, he's a good guy to have, even a full point per reception. Maybe you're splitting hairs there a little bit, but a guy that if you have him on your team, you can set him in your lineup and you don't have to worry about him from week to week as long as he's not injured. So the next guy that we have on our list is a little bit different. We have him ranked 2 spots higher, but also I think that that's fitting based a little bit off what has been happening in the previous weeks. A lot of guys are going to be dropping a little bit. This is Derrick Henry. I personally have him at 5, you at 3, Zach at 6, and Brad at 4. So you're the highest on him, but I'm not necessarily low on him by any means, but I do definitely have a big gap in between him and Zeke and Saquon, for instance. I have him just under 240 points, so almost over a 40-point difference for me between them. I have him getting a lot of running work, so even more yards per carry and yards total than Zeke, but his passing work is where I have him taking a big step down because we do everything in half point per reception. That's kind of the difference there.
Yeah, I still have fantasy points-wise, I have him coming down from last year. Last year, he had 285 fantasy points in half PPR, and I have him studied at 277. So coming down only a little bit, but still. So again, for me the same, getting a lot more, getting yards, I have him at 1,380 yards in the ground. So again, you have to take those stats down from last year. And about the same work in the air that he had last year. The touchdowns, I took only down with 1. So I have him studied at 15 touchdowns. Okay. So
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I have him a little bit lower. I have him at 12. But his receiving work I have about staying the same. But, yeah, I definitely have him taking a step down in yards and all of that. But, again, you're banking a lot on this offense being as high profile as it was last year, I guess, because he's not the third down back. And if they're in a lot of third down situations, which most teams are, it's hard to get your first down on the first two downs, that maybe his production will be capped off a little bit by, what was it, Darrington Evans, I think, was their new rookie that they drafted.
Yeah. So
I think that he will be their third down back, and that might eat into Derrick Henry's third down work a little bit. It's definitely going to eat into his potential receiving work because he's never really been a receiving back. And when he's not in on third down, I doubt that he's going to be getting that many passes. But that's a little bit narrative driven. There's nothing 100% saying that, but I just definitely see it going that way. Would you agree?
I only have Darrington Evans that it under 200 yards on the ground and more receiving yards than Derrick Henry has, but still.
Yeah.
I don't see him getting, so I have him at like 45 attempts in the ground. So
yeah, no,
Derrick Henry getting 300. So
yeah, I'm very similar in that regard. I have Darrington Evans just under 300 and under 200 rushing yards, but still it's enough that his productivity might cut into Derrick Henry at least a little bit. And also that offense is going to have to take a step down at least a little bit coming into this year. It was just so good at the end of the year last year that it would be hard for Ryan Tannehill to maintain that 70% completion percentage. That's like insane.
But then again, Marcus Mariota was playing the first half of the season.
Yeah.
And now they have Tannehill from the start, so that might like compensate it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it definitely can. And it's going to be an interesting year for him. And I have actually a lot of shares of Derrick Henry this year because I've been drafting in the sixth spot. And so he's a guy I'm really happy that I'm grabbing because I think that he's got a lot of value coming into the year. But just maybe a lot of these guys, maybe the next guy, for instance, and even the guy after that has a little bit more, if you're in a points per reception league or even a half point per reception league, that you want to kind of consider their pass catching ability more than anything.
Yeah.
So
do we continue for the number five?
Yes, please, if you would like to introduce him.
Yeah, this is my guy from last year, my first love, you could say. Carried me through almost the whole season, Dalvin Cook, when unfortunately in the playoffs he got hurt. But I pretty much went 8-0 with him. So
You were very lucky that you got him very late in the first.
Yeah, I mean, as we stated earlier, I picked on the turn, and it was crazy that I got Dalvin Cook. It would never happen this year for him to drop until the turn. So, yeah, I was very lucky. I think he was, like, understated in our first league.
Yeah, but he was going around ADP. I think that last year he was kind of that Josh Jacobs type, the guy that everyone think might break out. So like end of the first, beginning of the second round. So you took the shot on him and it definitely paid off for you. You were the regular season hero with him. That's for sure.
Yeah, but then he got hurt and then his handcuff got hurt that I had also. And then rest is history. No finals for me.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I think you lost, what was it, in the first round of the playoffs that year?
No, in the semis. I got straight to the semis because I won the regular season.
Right, okay.
And then that was that. But anyways, I have him at 267 fantasy points.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, he had 266 fantasy points. So pretty much the same.
Right, on the nose.
Yeah, right on the nose. I actually have started the same yards he had on the ground than exactly than yeah last year. It wasn't like meant to be, but somehow it ended there. I took his touchdowns down a little bit, but then again, I gave him two in the air last year. He had none in the air, so that was kind of crazy, considering how much work he gets also receiving wise that he didn't get any receiving touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, on 63 targets and zero touchdown receptions, that's crazy.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's where he ended up. And I would, again, if I would get him this year, I'm pretty sure I'm not because I'm drafting so darning late. all the time. So I think no Dalvin Cook for me this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate. I have him taking us like a bigger step down than you. So I have his touchdowns coming down quite a lot. I've almost cut them in half to 7. I think that's a little bit more realistic with the yardage that he put up last year. And I also have him getting doing a little bit less with the attempts that he's getting. So I have him getting around 4.2 yards per attempt and just over 1,100 yards. So I think it's going to be a good year for him, but I am a little lower on him. But I definitely, especially in the situation that we're in now, would draft him over this next guy. Unless you have more to say, I'll move it on.
Yeah, I have noticed a clear trend here that when we have been looking at our stats, I tend to give more fantasy points for pretty much every player. And you take fantasy points down a lot from last season's. For example, Saquon Barkley, he had 340 fantasy points in 2018. I studied him like a bit lower than that. You studied him at 280 or something like that, was it? So,
yeah, I mean, he's still like a huge step down. But I think I kind of went off his average yards per game from the year before, or of the 2019 year. So I just basically took whatever he was on pace to do for last year, and then I increased it based on the games if he played all 16. That's kind of how I statted Saquon. So I know that he had a prolific rookie year. It was amazing. But again, every year – at one point, it has to be a peak, and I think his rookie year might have been his peak year. But if it's not, whatever, he's my running back two, and if he becomes the running back one, I'm more than happy about it. So,
all righty.
Yeah,
so next guy, you go ahead.
Yeah, so this next guy is some guy that I have statted quite high, but a guy that I would definitely not take anymore before Derrick Henry or Dalvin Cook, at least until his situation clears up a little bit, and that is Alvin Kamara. I have his stats at 4, you at 8, and Zach at 10. Brad has him at 5. So Alvin Kamara is one of those guys that is kind of in contract limbo right now. And at the time of recording, he does not have a new contract, but he did show up to practice. So that's a good sign. But yesterday, which would be Tuesday, I guess, for everybody that's listening on Friday, they did say the Saints did say that they are considering trading him away. And if that's the case, that will definitely hurt his fantasy value. So he's a little bit more risky than even Dalvin Cook, who's an injury risk. So if everything goes according to plan, I do think that he is a high, high upside guy. And he's a guy that I would be happy to have on my team as my RB1, especially if I had one of those mid-round picks right now.
Yeah, I mean, Alvin Kamara is one of those types that also gets lots of work in the air. So he's very, very valuable in the half-point PPR. Not so much on the ground, lower yards than a bunch of the other top 10 guys. I have him studied under 1,000 yards in the ground. So... yeah, I gave him 252 fantasy points for the season, and that put him at 8th spot in my rankings.
Yeah, I have him, like you said, just under 1,000 yards as well, but I have his receiving yards going up above 600, and I have him at 256. So we actually have him very similar. But for me, I think because we're a PPR or half point per reception, like that's how we do our statting and everything, and it's the kind of guy that in my half point per reception leagues, I want the guy that's going to be catching the ball the most. I think with his high rushing upside and his high receiving upside, that if he does get a contract or the Saints come out and say, we're not going to trade him, then he's definitely a higher upside guy, maybe even safer than people like Dalvin Cook with the injury. But of course he does have that major looming question mark right now. So if you go some of these guys that we've talked about earlier, I definitely can't blame you. I think that a lot of those guys, while they are very good, Alvin Kamara is the better half point. And if you're in a full point per reception league, I could see him even going in the top 3 as long as this contract situation gets worked out.
The next guy, when we're talking about great assets to have in half point or full point PPR, is something else. Or could be. We don't know yet.
Yeah. So I think that this guy that we have is way higher than where most people have him, and that's mostly due to you and Brad. So I'll let you kick it over to him.
I think it's only actually only one spot higher than, for example, Fantasy Pros.
Okay.
Have him. So we have Clyde Edwards-Helaire at number 7, and Fantasy Pros have him at number 8. So, yeah, I mean, especially now when Damien Williams is not playing, the whole situation changed in a heartbeat. So he is the clear number 1 now also in the ground for that team. And we all know from college and why they drafted him basically as the first running back off the board is his pass catching work.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's like a machine in the air. So I have him started under 1,000 rushing yards, but in the air I have him at almost 700 receiving yards and altogether 10 touchdowns. And that puts him at 261 fantasy points. So not even a very prolific rookie year compared, for example, Saquon, who had 340. David right. Johnson, who had over 370, if I remember right.
Yeah. So, yeah, and that's kind of the thing that that's going to happen when you draft Clyde Edwards. Like, it's going to be impossible to stat him for his ceiling, right? Because he could very easily be the wide receiver or running back 2 this year. But he also could very easily be the running back 24. So it's kind of hard. We're kind of statting him based on what a very realistic year would look like. So, for instance, I have him under 1,000 yards statted and under or 500 yards statted. But I definitely see a universe where he gets over well over 1,000 yards rushing and over 700 yards receiving. But when I was doing my statting, what I really wanted to do was kind of bake in some of his risk. So I actually have him lower at 10, but still within the first round, depending on how your wide receivers are drafted and if somebody is stupid enough to draft a quarterback, which happens on occasion. Clyde Edwards, while yes, he is very, very high upside guy, he also is kind of risky and maybe less risky than Alvin Kamara at this point, because Kamara could get traded tomorrow or cut from the team and then have very little value or no value at all. But still, he is a rookie, and we don't know exactly how he'll fit into that scheme and what's going to happen with the guys behind him, how much of the backups are going to get some work. Darrell Williams, Darwin Thompson, DeAndre Washington, they're all still there. And they all have the ability to get some work. And any work that they're taking is essentially work being taken away from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So while I really do like his upside, he does have a lower floor than pretty much everybody else I think we'll have on this list.
Yeah. I know Money League, I was drafting in the 11th spot. And I was kind of like excited if Clyde Edwards-Helaire would come back to me and I would have to make the decision between him and some safer guys. But luckily, he got drafted at number 10. Mm-hmm. So then Joe Mixon was a clear choice for me.
Right. If you were in that situation,
I would have ended with Joe Mixon probably anyhow.
Because of the floor?
Yeah, because of the safer option.
Yeah. And I think
that's my first pick. I want something safe.
And that's what's going to happen a lot this year when you're drafting these guys. You're going to have to kind of, whoever does draft CEH and even on a lesser extent some other guys coming up, you're going to have to kind of weigh the options of if you're willing to take that risk. So there is some risk baked in with him, but it's not as bad as some of these guys. And maybe the next guy on the list is kind of the opposite of Clyde Edwards. What would you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just mentioned his name earlier. The guy I was pondering, so Joe Mixon, I have started him as my running back 10. His first half of the season last year was not great. But I don't know. I don't think that it was because of him. I think it was more of that offense that it just couldn't get it going. And when they did, he was greatly involved in that offense. Mm-hmm. And he showed what he could do. And he just signed a four-year deal. So clearly they liked him there in Cincinnati, With the new quarterback, though, I don't know how they how their chemistry is. So what his receiving work is gonna be, and that offense, if he's gonna get like red zone possibilities for him to get touchdowns. But yeah, it's for sure a safer bet than Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I like Joe Mixon a lot. As we have said, I have lots of shares of Joe Mixon, so I actually have him studied quite low in the receiving job, but I see him rushing like 1,250, getting 8 touchdowns, and some work in the air as well. So just below 240 fantasy points in my books.
Yeah, I have him statted nearly identical again. I have him at 1,250 and 7 with 266 of the air and 3. So I have him just over 230. So you actually have him statted higher still. I just have him higher in my rankings.
Yeah, because you value or you don't put enough points in the board. But it's about the order anyways, not the points so much.
Yeah, I mean, I have him taking a major step up from last year. I have him with 30 points over what he produced last year. I think that he'll get it together in the beginning of the year because I know this is a bit narrative driven, but I think that with Joe Burrow, that it, because he's a rookie, they'll have to lean a little bit heavier on the running side of the ball. They're going to go with the part of the offense that was kind of clicking at the end of the year last year. I think that that will be good for him. And with a rookie quarterback, generally the rushing game is not hurt as much as the receiving game at first. Like that's kind of obvious. And so it definitely is not going to be that bad for Joe Mixon. In fact, if anything, if Joe Burrow is better than than Andy Dalton last year, I definitely think that he could have some definite upside because then if they're clearing up with the receiving side of the ball on that team, that he could actually, then they could lean a little bit more on the running game and it would clear up some holes for him and he could break some bigger runs. So could be an interesting year for Joe Mixon. Definitely not a high upside guy. He's not a guy that could finish as a top. I don't see him finishing in the top three this year, but I definitely don't see him finishing outside of the top 12 either. So he's kind of the opposite of Clyde Edwards-Helaire in my book.
I could see him finishing in the top three.
Could you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would be hard. I guess that it would have to come to do with some people getting injured or some people holding out or a combination of some of these things or just some people playing bad or definitely would need a combination of all of those things, I think. But I think the first three, Christian McCaffrey, Saquon, and Zeke, I think it's going to be hard to do better than them just because they're generational talents, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, last year it was a guy named Aaron Jones that was the number two. Derrick Henry was the number three. And Saquon got hurt, so he was, of course, out of it. But yeah, Zeke got out from the top three spot, so
Yeah, I mean, anything can happen. Anything can happen this year. But before we move it on, maybe I will just kind of recap because we've been rushing through this. So at number one, Christian McCaffrey, number two, Saquon Barkley, number three, Zeke Elliott, four, Derrick Henry, number five, Dalvin Cook, number six, Alvin Kamara, number seven, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, number eight, Joe Mixon, and our number nine guy, Miles Sanders. So Miles Sanders, that's an interesting one this year. And I kind of really like Miles Sanders more and more as the season goes for whatever reason. I know that at the beginning of the year, Philadelphia was not so hot on getting Miles Sanders to be their feature back, but they haven't really signed anybody. I know that there are some guys kind of that could be signed and would definitely hurt his value. For instance, Leonard Fournette, who's sitting there. I doubt that he'll go to the Eagles, but anything crazy could happen. And I really don't see Boston Scott taking as much of work as I initially had. I currently have Boston Scott statted for just under 500 yards, and I just don't see that happening anymore. Another good thing about Miles Sanders is he's a pass-catching back, unlike Joe Mixon. So Miles Sanders, depending on how he works out, could have a lot more value in half point per reception and full point per reception league. So an interesting guy to look out for. I don't have him statted with his rushing touchdowns that high or his receiving touchdowns so high, but I do have him statted just under 1,500 all-purpose yards. So that's a lot of yards for a running back.
Yeah, I like Miles Sanders a lot as well. I think I have him the highest in our rankings at number 7. So I see him taking like over 60 points step upwards from last season.
Yeah.
Fantasy points. So yeah, lots of yards in the air, 600 yards, 4 touchdowns, also breaking the 1,000 yard line on the ground with 7 touchdowns. So I gave him like 4 touchdowns more on the ground and 200 yards more on the ground. So big step upwards in my books that I have predicted.
Yeah, I have him. Works out. I have him taking almost a 30-point step up. Also, I do believe in his talent, especially for where he was being drafted last year. I know everybody's talking about how good Aaron Jones was, but Miles Sanders for his draft capital was pretty good. I know Boston Scott might get in the way a little bit, but I don't see him taking up that much of the work. So Miles Sanders. Maybe if you're on the turn top, if you have a 12th pick, I think didn't we end up taking Miles Sanders in our league, actually?
We have Miles Sanders.
Yeah, we have Miles Sanders. It's okay. Yeah. Yeah, and I think that he's a good guy that you can get on the turn. If you're looking to get your first two running backs really quick, that he's one of those guys that you should look for and should return pretty handily. Now, of course, if anything happens that that team does sign somebody, that a bit to look out for, but overall I think that he is a pretty good value. So that is our number 9, and we are now on to our number 10. So Antti, would you like to maybe introduce our last guy here?
Yeah, it's a guy named Josh Jacobs, and he's in our top 10 because of one of our guys.
Yeah,
all of the rest of us have him outside of top 10. So I me and you have him at 13. Brad has it at 11, and Zach has him at number 3.
Yeah.
So he for sure sees big things for Josh Jacobs. And that number 3 positioning lifts him to our top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving guys like Nick Chubb and Aaron Jones out of the top 10.
Yeah.
That are generally in the top 10.
Yeah, Nick Chubb and Aaron Jones, maybe even Kenyon Drake. I know Drake is generally squeezed out a little bit. But I have him taking a step up this year. I have him taking about a 40-point step up. I have him getting just under 220 points at 217. So a solid RB1 still, or maybe not, depending where. Yeah, I have him at 13, so that's just outside of the RB1 numbers. But interesting thing about him, again, I see him as a very high upside guy. A kind of guy that could break the ceiling and be a top 5 guy, depending on how the season plays out. And I think that's kind of what you're getting with him. You're kind of betting on him breaking out this year if you're drafting him in the first round.
Yeah, I have Miles Sanders as the clear better sophomore than Josh Jacobs, as you can see in my rankings. I have also Josh Jacobs getting the 46 point upwards, but that's not clearly as much as Miles Sanders had. And he also lost that battle to Miles Sanders last year, getting less points than him. In half point and full point PPR, he's clearly only like a crown threat.
Yeah.
He gets some air work, but not clearly as much as Miles Sanders, for example. So,
yeah.
Or Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So, yeah, he broke the 1,000-yard line last year. I have him getting 100 yards more this year, one touchdown more. I actually have doubled his air work.
Yeah.
Because of the receiving situation they have now in Vegas. But didn't give him any touchdowns in the air.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of talk narrative-wise, again, here we go again, of them trying to get him worked into the passing game a little bit more this year, but that kind of is coach speak. But because of that, I do have his receiving work doubling, and I actually have him getting a couple of touchdowns as well. I have him taking a step down in the yardage, and his average might be a little bit lower. But like you said, the clear difference between him and Miles Sanders, I have Josh Jacobs as the better runner, but because, like you said, we are a half-point per reception league, That's how we like to play the game, and that's how we do our statting. That definitely he's the guy that I would rather have in the leagues that I play in. And in a full point perception league, definitely I would be going Miles Sanders over Josh Jacobs. Maybe Josh Jacobs in a standard league if I'm feeling a little risky. But yeah, I don't fully buy into the Josh Jacobs hype, especially since that offense is so banged up.
Yeah, for sure. And now when you mentioned, if you guys want to know, if you are in a standard league, for example, and you want to know our rankings in standard leagues, because we did all the studying, we can easily convert our rankings to standard league rankings as well, mm-hmm. or full point PPR rankings, full point PR rankings. So yeah, just give us a question and we answer that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, if you want us to answer any questions about who we like versus other people that we didn't talk about, or even you want us to say a little bit more about some people we did touch on, we would be happy to do that. You can see our rankings at NordicFootballGuys.com. I think that we're going to have to edit those, though.
Yeah, we have to do some studying for sure now when especially when the situation clears up with Alvin Kamara and now with Leonard Fournette. So yeah, it's constant changing about we will do that maybe in a little bit after Matt. So
yeah, it might be good to do like one big update right before the season starts.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we are gonna do. Maybe some mentions that we want to bring up with the running backs. One guy that in the running back one and running back two calibers we are highest on compared to, for example, Fantasy Pros is David Montgomery. Mm. We have him at number 20 spot when generally speaking, he's just in the fringe of running back two, running back three department.
Yeah.
And one guy we are very low on is Chris Carson.
Mm. I might actually have to go back through and edit those a little bit because David Montgomery now is clearly missing a week or so. So that's not great. And also Chris Carson has come out and said that he is 100% to play now. So maybe I value him a little bit more, maybe not so much more, but definitely something to look at. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting year, I would have to say. This running back situation, even though we are less than a week away from kickoff, can you believe that? Actually, one week away from kickoff on Thursday night. Can't wait to watch. Your boy will be waking up at 3 a.m. to watch that game. You better believe it.
Yeah, I think I might have to do that as well.
Yeah.
Actually, that's perfect because I'm driving to Oulu next Thursday and I'm taking the Friday off.
Well, then you have to.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. But anyway, yeah, I'm really excited for that. Before we close this out, I know that we went a little bit through our big money league teams. Last time we tried to record this running back show, is there anything about that you want to talk about?
No, not so much. I mean, the draft wasn't ideal for me. I mean, I'm happy with the result, but I had to draft while I was in a bar with my mobile and my battery was running low and then it ended up dying in the 11th round or so, I guess. So my last five picks were auto drafts, but you know, I didn't have any of my cheat sheets or anything like that, so I just went on a limb. I'm quite happy with the result.
Yeah, your team's pretty true to your rankings. You and I, we actually play each other week one, so that's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Now, at the moment, I believe you are a slight favorite.
Yeah, I'm a slight favorite, but it really depends on what's going to happen, for instance, with Parker. Because I know that he's been injured. And also, I would love to get David Montgomery in there, but I don't see that happening. So it's going to be an interesting week. Maybe we will do some live tweeting or something as on the weekend just to – I'll do some trash talking, and then I'll feel bad about it when you spank me like you always do.
Yeah. Yeah, it ended up happening last year.
Yeah.
Last year as well, yeah.
But yeah, I'm really excited for this year. I hope you guys are excited this year. Starting next week, we are going to be doing real shows about the NFL. So that's like what's going on. I'm really excited for that. Never done that before. Auntie, unless you've run a fantasy football podcast, I'm sure you've never done that before. It's going to be awesome, man. I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too. Cannot wait to get going. It's always a very, very long wait after the season ends.
Yeah, it is.
And now it's knocking on the doors.
Yeah, but anyway, man, enjoy your anniversary. Say hello to your wife for us. And I guess,
will.
Yeah, and I guess unless you have anything else you'd like to say, we will see you guys later.
Yeah. Moro, moro, mitä poro. That's Finnish and it means what's up reindeer in short.
We hope you guys enjoyed this episode or all of our previous episodes. We hope you guys are enjoying the podcast. That is the most important thing.
Go and listen to us in Spotify, in Apple Pod, and all the other major podcast platforms.
And if you have any questions or you'd like to get a hold of us, you can reach us at NFG Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We hope to see you there.
Moro, moro.